Hello and welcome to another episode of I've Never Seen the OC. We are on Season 3, Episode 11, The Safe Harbour.
We need to mention what happened on the internet this morning.
Well, it was last night, and after I sat up quite late and then was just mindlessly scrolling Insta, I was like, oh, and then
it's happening.
And then I was like, should I try and attempt to work our socials? And I was like, imagine Heather wakes up and it's like, you wake up to
Why have we got 200 messages? What's happened? If you are not on the internet and this is the only, I don't know, digital connection you have to the OC, Josh Schwartz. Josh Schwartz posted a picture late last night, early this morning, of Captain Oates on his Instagram. He tagged Rachel Bilson. And what was her comment?
Her comment was great.
Her comment.
She was like, what a coincidence.
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
Love it. It's so good. And then obviously she had posted a couple of weeks ago a picture of Princess Sparkle. Lots of conversation about what it means.
Anjali.
Like everyone's Anjali. Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck, I forgot that. Yeah, lots of thoughts popping about what could be happening.
We can only live in hope.
Yeah. Well, somebody said it might be a podcast.
Oh.
I mean, kind of getting in on our turf.
Yeah.
But sure. Whatever. Sure. Will it be as good as ours? We'll see. The other thing was that it might be a reboot. A couple of people have said that by the same production company that do Gossip Girl, who are doing the Gossip Girl remake.
So excited for that.
But then loads of people were saying, I think we talked about this before, loads of people were saying like Adam Brody and Ben McKenzie aren't into it. So if they are doing a reboot, what would that be? How would that work?
I know if they did it like Gossip Girl, because it's a complete new cast, isn't it? And it's not, it's basically just revisiting what they've already done. So like imagine Rachel Bilson could be cast as like Julie Cooper.
Oh my God, can you imagine? They did that with Saved by the Bell, didn't they? It was Zach and Kelly Kapowski came back and they were parents of teenagers at the school. It was cute.
Oh.
Anyway, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what happens.
We need to take whatever light we can get in these dark days.
Precisely. Speaking of which, Jane turned up at my door socially distancedly and very safely.
Yes.
2 meters away in her close to drop off a free Marissa t-shirt. Are we wearing matching t-shirts to this record? Yes, we are.
We totally are.
Are we both wearing red lipstick? Yes, we are.
It's been a week for women, so I just felt, got to free Marissa Cooper.
If there's one thing we can do in this life, it's free Marissa Cooper. It's been a wild week. It really has.
Yeah.
I don't really want to talk too much about the news, but the UK, man, the patriarchy, all of it can just get in the bin.
Need smashed. Yep.
Anyway, on that note, shall we jump on in?
Yes.
Do you have any other business? Anything you want to bring up?
No, I think we just go straight into Previously on the OC.
Previously on the OC. Ugh, Johnny.
Johnny's plight. Ugh.
Johnny. This long, never-ending story of Johnny. There's that, like, Marissa Johnny Ryan.
Yeah.
Kind of weird
triangle.
Not thruple.
Yeah.
Well, like, we talked about this at length last week, and it was just very much like, Marissa should just let Johnny go.
Yes.
Just let him go. We also got a real reminder of Taylor Townsend.
Yes,
and her
we had
awful mum.
A Taylor free week. So we got a little flashback to Taylor and Brutal Veronica. Again, they look about the same age. They really do.
She looks great. There's a scene which we will touch on later, and I was like, she has clearly been to Mr. Neil Roberts.
Oh, she definitely has.
Dr. Neil Roberts. Bloody flotation devices. Yeah. Jesus.
And speaking of which, we've got Dr. Roberts and Julie Cooper, their nice new friendship blossoming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And just a subtle reminder that Marissa was chucked out of Harbour School, but we know that.
She's been
at Newport Union for a while now. But it's been the Christmas holidays, hasn't it? Last week was Christmaca. And we open up with the core four in the bait shop drinking mocktails.
Yeah, what a weird thing to do.
I mean, what age are they? 17?
Yeah, go to the beach. Go to the beach and get some cans.
Get a bottle. Like, yeah, you'll be fine. It's so different in America, though, isn't it? Because in the UK, you can start drinking from 18.
Yeah.
Like, whereas in the States, it's 21.
So or 12 or in Glasgow, you know.
But that's the thing that's just so weird, because you've seen them at parties drinking before. Like, clearly they're not into a binge drink like us regions are.
But again, we've got Summer with her, these sort of made up milestones. Like, it's the last night before our last semester of our last year of high school. We have to make it last. And she's like, what? I could not get my head around that, but I was like, right, they're coming back from the Christmas holidays. Cool. Cool.
This is quite nice, actually. We've not seen just the four of them in bloody forever.
And it seems as though, from what Marissa's been saying, it's been a really fun winter break because they've been hanging just the four of them. I mean, no Johnny annoying them or anyone else getting involved. And Marissa seems pretty sad to go back to Newport Union. So at this point, I was thinking, oh, Marissa's probably going to be on her own because, well, we don't know what happened to Casey. She's away. Johnny and Chilly are presumably going on the surf tour, so they're just patching school. So I was like, oh, yeah, that must be quite daunting if she's going back to Newport Union with no pals.
Yeah, for sure. She goes to the bathroom, doesn't she?
Yeah, Seth and Marissa conveniently go to the toilet, and Summer hits out that she wants to get Marissa back into Harbour School for their last year so that she can be immortalised in their high school picture.
Yeah, that would be gutting though, wouldn't it? If like your best pal who's been at school with your entire life
and you get
misses out in your final year photo.
Yeah, and you get the impression that Marissa's been a huge part of the school life and the extracurricular school life. So yeah.
But Summer thinks the school might be over it. Like, Dr. Kim might be over it. The board might be over it. Time's passed. Time's a healer.
Yes.
She just really wants to finish senior year together, which I get.
Defo.
And Ryan's kind of on board, isn't he? He's like, okay, let's try. But we're not telling Marissa until we know what we want to do. But basically none of them have any idea what to do.
So we have Operation Free Marissa. We don't quite know how.
Nope. And this is where we meet the Free Marissa campaign.
Yeah.
Which I'm very into grassroots activism. Like, it's just, throughout this episode, they do a great campaign.
They do.
A very good campaign.
Tick all the boxes.
I'm watching a lot of The West Wing at the moment, so I feel am like a political expert on a campaign trail. Just if anyone's wanting.
If you need a campaign manager, Heather's your gal.
I have watched almost all of the first two seasons of The West Wing. But yeah, it's really funny. Like, just, I can totally imagine being at high school and getting a bee in my bonnet and being like, yeah, we're doing this. Like, let's take it down. Let's make change.
Nice.
Remember being like optimistic that you can input change in society and the world and just not having, you know, cynical thoughts about everything.
Oh, that makes me, have you watched Moxie on Netflix?
No.
No, it's sort of a similar vibe, but it's like girls campaigning for like equality and getting rid of sexism in their school. It's pretty good. I was like, wish they made more films like that when I was in high school. Or when these guys were.
I know. Do you know what we watched last night, which I would thoroughly, if you're in the UK, you'll be able to see it. If you're not, soz. Fern Brady has a comedy show, a stand-up that was filmed. It's from BBC. You can watch it back on iPlayer. And it's so funny. Like, it's she's very good at walking that line of being like marginally, like not okay. Yeah. Like, it's so good. She's so funny. She's got a very jiggly face. Like, when she talks, she kind of shakes her face. It's really weird.
I can't even think what she looks like, so I'll look that up. Thank you for the rep.
One of Bathgate's finest. Her, Lewis Capaldi, Susan Boyle. Oof. All the greats. And they all kind of look the same, which is really weird.
Something in the
sorry
water.
If you're from Bathgate. I know. Sorry, any listeners who are in Bathgate.
Send us a pic.
Do you look like Fern Brady, Lewis Capaldi and Susan Boyle? We want to know. Send your answers via at Never Seen the OC on Twitter and Instagram.
But yes, they're going to try and get this plan to get her back, and we can look more into their campaign strategies as we progress through the episodes. But step one, Ryan's got an appointment with Dr. Kim. So they're at Harbour School, yes. And he has his appointment, and Summer describes this as prong one.
Yeah, I find this next scene kind of weird with Dr. Kim, because I just don't think a teacher would level with you like that.
Yeah.
Because she basically says, like, I agree with you. I think, like, the ruling was pretty strict, like, harsh, and Marissa should be allowed back, but it's not me you need to persuade. It's not my decision. It's the board. And then she gives him direct information to help his case. And I was just a bit like, surely that's how you get sacked from professionalism. Yeah. Come on now.
Where's the new routine of discipline?
They don't meet one now. Yeah. Marissa's out.
But yeah, so apparently she believes it's been too difficult, but only the board of trustees can overrule this. And conveniently, they're meeting on Thursday. So Dr. Kim says she'll give him a chance, but he's going to need a parent advocate. Dun, dun, dun.
Very handy. Yeah. His faux dad is like one of the best lawyers sticking up for the underdog in Orange County.
But they keep talking about how he's going to need a precedent for this, and she's like, oh, go look up the fall of 1996. And yeah, it is weird.
It's weird. Although, like, for storytelling, I'm like, sure. Like, yeah. I get it. Am I just being nice in case we ever have to get Josh on our podcast? Like, if they start doing a podcast, maybe. Is that why I've changed my tune? Probably. Josh, your writing is as bad as I said. It's not as bad as I said it was in all those other episodes. Please come on our podcast. Yeah. over to Newport Union. Johnny's had his op over the Christmas holidays. He's getting into physio. Seems in a really good place. Like, he seems quite chirpy again.
Yeah.
Back to OG Johnny instead of whiny, mopey Johnny.
Yes.
And he wants her to go to a party with him.
Yeah, this was weird. He's like, oh, only one person can come to this party. And she's like, why don't you just take Chili or like, your mum? And then there's this story that apparently a kid failed the drug test, so there's a spot on the team and he should be able to compete by summer.
Yeah.
And yeah, Marissa just looks so awkward, doesn't she, when about this party invite, because I think she feels, oh, this is weird.
Yeah. You're putting me in like a date situation. Uh-huh. Basically. But his reasoning is none of this would be happening if it wasn't for you, so it's almost like a thank you.
Yeah.
To which you're like, okay, maybe
this could be a chance for them to be pals.
To be pals.
So she eventually comes round to it and she's going to go to the party.
Yeah. Can I just interject with something completely off topic? Sorry, listeners, come with me on this journey. So Jane obviously got me this free Marissa t-shirt. It's amazing. But you'd said when you got it, you washed it and ironed it because...
Yeah, because I'm a psycho.
Yeah, like... But like, you know, like I wash my clothes. We have nice smelling washing tablets. Like they do a great job. But you know, when you smell somebody else's washing powder and it smells amazing. Aww. Like why does your washing powder smell so much better than mine? I'm literally just getting like wafts of
I did put some of those little, you know, the little, what are they called? Why can't I remember the name of these? They're like little... They look like little blue pills, basically, and you put them in. Like, I feel like it's so with what are they called? They're like, people know, so they're like in a shaky bottle. You get like Febreze ones and Lenore. I'm sure other brands
like
are available.
The good smelly stuff.
Yeah. So I put those in with them just so, because they just smelt very like hot off the, I think, somebody
hot
in like,
off the press.
Yeah, someone in a t-shirt printing factory is like, what the fuck, who's getting these t-shirts printed like 15 years later?
But maybe we'll start a trend. Maybe
free Marissa t-shirts. I'm like, yeah, I think it'd be quite nice, like tucked into like a little leather skirt. Like, it's definitely something I'd wear on a night out.
Well, just in case any of you lovely listeners were wondering, Jane's washing powder smells bloody fantastic and I'm having a lovely time here.
Excellent. Glad to hear. I'm really glad I did that now.
Anyway, over to Julie and Kristen at the yacht club.
At the yacht club.
Is it the yacht club?
They're always at the yacht club, so I imagine so, yeah. And they're talking, they look to be, I think Kirsten's going through like a big pile of their new clients, I imagine. And it's a lot of people that have been divorced or separated. And she's like, I didn't realise there were so many people in Newport. And then cue Dr. Roberts. And yeah. Julie tells Kirsten, oh, well, he's getting a divorce.
I would be the same. Like, I know I shouldn't tell you, but but she's going to say hi, isn't she? And it's quite cute. Like, yeah. It's like, she seems kind of like nervous.
She's quite coy, isn't she? It's really quite sweet. It's nice to see this sort of side because she's usually the one in control. So it feels,
she's normally quite like panther prowly. Like she knows what she wants and how to get it. Whereas here she seems quite genuine.
I feel she really worries, or if she really thinks it matters to her what Neil thinks of her, you know, whereas I think in the past she's like, yeah, I'm Julie Cooper, don't give a shit, but I feel like she wants him to
like her. I think she's a good person.
It's really cute. But we find out that Neil hasn't told Summer about the divorce, and Julie hasn't told Marissa about the trailer park.
I was gonna say, where was Marissa over Christmas, but Julie did specifically say that she'd gone to theirs for Christmas dinner, so that thought has been squashed, guys. That's where she was.
Oh my god. And did you not just love the next bit when Julie's like, they're like, oh, happy new year, and she's like, should old acquaintance be forgot? And then he's like, no danger of you being old or forgotten anytime soon. And I was like, oh.
So like, it's flirty, but it's also like not cringy flirty. It's just quite cute,
like dad chat, but like cute, you know, like not sleazy dad, just like trying to be like, oh yeah, it's very charming. I thought it was sweet. I really like these two.
Yeah, I like them so together. Cute. I feel like they bring out the best of each other.
Yeah, they're really different, but it's cute.
Back at school, Summer and Seth are trying to find someone who everyone will follow into battle to get them on board for the Free Marissa campaign. And this is where they try and successfully recruit General Townsend.
Yes, they're rallying the troops.
I loved it when she was like, oh hey guys, did you not get the message about my Boxing Day party? Oh no, don't worry about it, it's fine.
Oh, Summer and Seth are just sort of looking at each other like, what? But she is like totally 110% up for helping them until she hears it's Marissa. And they're sort of like, oh, but it's our group. And she's like, oh, like she's totally drawn in, isn't she, by the idea of being part of any friendship group, I think, but especially theirs. And she's sort of like frantically taking notes. And then her two pals are like, Taylor, she's your rival. This is going to be social suicide.
But this is also where we find out that it was actually Taylor's mum who started the petition against Marissa in the first place.
Veronica, she was head of the group.
Yeah, as if Taylor wouldn't have realised that when she was like shaking Seth's hand, being like, oh, it's an honour to share your foxhole. Like, okay, first of all, the army jokes are weird, but sure.
And then her pals are like, your mum's going to kill you, basically. This is not a good idea. And then she's like, oh, that's the last semester. Which then this just made me think, are you a Taking Back Sunday fan, or were you in your youth, Heather?
Ali was a bigger Taking Back Sunday fan. Yeah. I'm a peripheral fan, observing fan.
It just made your soul last summer. They're tuning in my head for like the rest of the day. But anyway, to Sandy's office.
Ryan is getting Sandy on board, which I didn't think would be a particularly hard job, but here we are. Ryan's worried that Sandy doesn't want him and Marissa to be at the same school anymore. And he says things are different now. And I was just like, are they though? Because they seem exactly the same as with the Oliver situation. Except it's gone on for longer.
Yeah. But Ryan's found the dart. So apparently in 1996, the board reinstated a kid after he threatened another student with a knife. So Ryan says this is like the precedent that they've been needing. And Sandy's like, there's no guarantees, but you might have a shot. I'll do it.
And any excuse to ruffle some nupsy feathers, and he's ready to go.
Yeah. Yep.
Speaking of ruffled, can we just talk about Sandy's hair in this episode? Like, he is rocking some serious, like, lockdown.
Yeah, he does look like it's not been cut in a while.
It looks voluminous. Yeah. Like, was he working on another show and he needed long hair for it? Like, who knows? It's so weird.
Yeah, there's lots of it, isn't there?
Or is it a really subtle, like, him trying to rebel against the like corporate owner world.
Maybe. But yeah, he looks bloody great, doesn't he? He always does.
He always looks great.
He always does. So Ryan feels that he's got enough of a plan now that he's going to go and tell Marissa. And she's speechless, but the good kind of speechless.
Yes. The meeting, though, on Thursday that they have with the board just so happens to clash with Johnny's surf party whatever thing. And this is where it just gets really... She just seems a bit uninterested and unimpressed with the whole thing. Like, you can just tell she's not quite into it.
Yeah, she's so... Even when you think back to her getting expelled to begin with... She was so just like taken by the idea of going on tour with Johnny and Chili and like not going to college and just being, you know, she doesn't seem to know what she wants really, does she? Which again is understandable.
But she goes upstairs to chat to Summer, and Summer is like super certain that it's going to work. Like the eternal optimist, the sunshine to our eternal winter, yes. Summer Roberts.
Summer Roberts. Oh.
Positivity just shining on through. And she tells Marissa to just cancel on Johnny. He'll be happy for you. And then she doesn't do it. She picks up the phone, dials the number, but doesn't do it.
Yeah, I've actually just written down, like, honestly, Marissa, like, for fuck's sake. Like, seriously. She's like, oh, well, Pac West is an outing in Johnny. Who cares? Are you getting to go back to school with your boyfriend and your pals?
Yeah.
You don't even like surfing.
It's just, it's so difficult as well because, like, she's only been at that school for, like, what, 6 months, say, if that? Like...
I'm back 5 minutes.
A hot minute. And I'm just a bit like, if you... These are your friends. Like, Summer is your... Like, never even mind the boys. Summer has been your friend since you were a kid. Like, why would you not be desperate to get back to them?
Do you also think, when she poses the question, but do people want me back? Do you think that's a genuine concern that she has? Or do you think she's just looking for excuses?
Well, think about how worried she was start joining Newport Union, and then when they were all when Mean Heather, remember her?
Oh yeah,
kept making like the gun jokes and stuff. Oh,
they were so bad and so many. Weird. It's like shut up.
So I don't know. Maybe she is worried about that.
Who knows? But yeah, she doesn't call Johnny. She bosses it. She hangs up, and then we are back to the Cohen kitchen where Sandy's asking Kirsten, does she think it's a good idea? And Seth and Ryan come in with all their supplies for the campaign.
Sandy loves student activism. Oh. And the boys head on off to get the supplies to Summer. And this is where we start finding more about this judge. So the judge has mentioned really briefly earlier on that the head of the kind of board at the school is this real life judge that Sandy has faced off before. And he said he was a badass. But when Sandy or Ryan mentions it when Kirsten's there, when the boys are away, Kirsten is like, that's the judge that held you in contempt of court.
Yeah, like, he'd put Sandy in jail
for 6 hours.
6 hours in the slammer. So yeah, basically the judge hates him.
But did you see how much Sandy was smiling when he said it?
Like, yeah, that was me.
That was me. Like,
so yeah, maybe Sandy hasn't given the full pictures to the boys, but you can tell he's like ready for this and wants the chance to go up against the judge again. So yeah,
but even at this point, like, the judge is like avoiding his call.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
He's just not interested. And like, this Kirsten says really specifically, like, it's not like this is an actual trial. And he's like, tell that to Judge Mercer. Mm. Interesting name, Mercer. It's almost like Mercy.
Mercy.
Like, interesting that, isn't it? Just something I thought about earlier.
Again, Heather, I think you're giving a lot of credit where maybe not credit, but yeah, you're totally like, if you've got a deal with her, you've been slicing into Josh Schwartz's DMs, like, I've got
Hi,
this
Josh,
podcast.
Love you to come on our podcast. Hi.
Just to talk about your brilliant writing.
Can you imagine? We'd sit him down and he'd be like, we need to talk about Seth. We need to talk about Seth in season one and season two.
Yeah.
Hold on to your hat.
Oh man. But yeah, so we've got we go from the so we know that the judge hates them, and then we jump to Johnny and Chili, and they're at school discussing tour, discussing his doctor, all this chat about charts and insurance. And then Marissa just comes out, she meets them, comes out and tells Johnny, look, I can't do Thursday, my pals have got this plan to get me into school, I need to go. And Johnny's like, oh, like, that's great. But something else that, like, it's addressed later, I'm like, who's paying for this private school? Julie's in a trailer park.
A valid point.
Anyway.
But yeah, he's happy for her. Chili will be really excited because it means he gets to go to the party, yada, yada, yada. And like as soon as she walks away, like you can just see that switch from like
face being crumbles. Happy for her.
Yeah, like, he looks devastated.
Honestly, wish Johnny would just go away. I've had enough. had enough of his moaning wee face. But yeah.
Summer, Taylor and Seth, they've got the signs, they've got their flyers, they've got the t-shirts. Thanks for those guys. They're chatting to the button guy, like they are going full pelt at this campaign.
Yeah, they've got the
visual
big
campaign.
Yeah, Marissa Cooper graduates.
Yes. So this is where her mom turns up. And Seth offers her a flyer. And I was just like, only Seth Cohen would be the guy to offer her a flyer. Like, only Seth Cohen. But yeah, she takes
this
aside.
It's awful, isn't it? And she's like, I'm helping my friends. And her mum's like, you don't have any friends. And she's like,
it's so weird though, because surely if Veronica was spending her entire life, well, Taylor's entire life, telling her to go make friends, get a stick out your butt, go and make friends, yada, 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 and then she is actually actively doing that, surely you would be like, oh my God, you're finally making friends, instead of being like, no, you don't have any friends. It's so weird. It's such a weird... I mean, maybe she is just an arsehole, but I'm also just like, confusing.
But then her mum's like, this is why we got Marissa kicked out in the first place, so you could become Mrs. Popular. Like, what?
So weird.
It hasn't worked for her, has it?
Just so weird. But Taylor can't help anymore. She comes over and she's like, sorry, I can't help anymore. Let's head over to Matt, who is on his hands
return
hands-free.
Of Matt. At the Newport
Return
group.
Turn up the mat.
That's, yeah, again, there was a lot of, like, tunes stuck in my head after this episode. but Sandy wants Matt to dig up dirt on the judge. And, yeah, Matt's got some connections in dodgy places. I think we've,
I'm getting some Caleb vibes.
Interested to see some more. Yeah. But he has a licensed private investigator. Apparently he's legal, he's above board, and he is going to do a background check on
the judge
Mercer. Judge Mercy.
Judge Mercy. To nobody's surprise, Ryan's over at Newport Union. What would you do if Stephen turned up with a t-shirt with your face on it? Because I would be like, what the fuck?
I would fucking love it. I'd be like, where'd you get this? Where can we get more?
I think I'd freak out. She's so zen about it. I'd be like, what the fuck?
Depends what picture. I'd be like, oh, do I look good in it?
Marissa does look good. She looks very recognisable as well. Yeah. Like, you know it's Marissa Cooper.
Yeah, it's awesome. Okay, I'm going to wear this t-shirt forever. I'm like totally loving it. I think it's a good fit as well.
It is. It's very comfortable.
Yeah,
very
I always go for a medium, and then when you wash them and put all the nice smelling fabric and stuff on them, then
tuck it into high-waisted jeans.
Yeah, we are no way affiliated with this t-shirt brand, by the way, guys. Maybe we could get a discount code.
Other free Marissa t-shirts are available. The only thing is, like, see when I... Actually, I'm going to stand up so you can see this. Okay. Sorry, listeners, you won't be able to see this. But, like, if I wear a high-waisted trouser, where's that going to chop off?
Yeah, well, I'm tucked in, and then I've, like...
So you can pulled it out,
so it's... Yeah,
I was worried. I don't want my jeans cutting off Marissa's bad extensions.
I am a fan of, like, a high-waisted jean or skirt with a t-shirt tucked in, so I've got practice with making sure the whole t-shirt's like...
I want the entire brand.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ryan's chatting about the campaign swag. She's very much like, I can't believe this is happening. And you kind of get like a flutter of like hope, a flutter of excitement.
I think she's almost like, I guess if this whole campaign is going on, then people do want her there and people are behind her. So she's maybe getting a little bit of hope, confidence.
Yeah.
Also, I've been like, oh, are there actual coffee mugs or like baseball caps?
Where can we get those? Yeah. when Kerry, our old co-host from season one and season two, when she left, I got her a Never Seen the OC mug. The one of a kind.
How cute.
It was cute.
Do you need to leave to get one of those?
Yeah, you do, Sauce. Oh. Or you need to make it to the end of the run. That's the option. You either just buckle down to make it to the end of season four with me. But yeah, I have flirted with the Never Seen the OC merch. But
bloody love
feels
merch.
Feels like a lot of effort, to be honest.
Guys, let us know if there's demand.
If the demand is high enough, I'll think about it. But,
yeah, amazing. But yeah, Johnny's apparently at the doctor's. And then Chili calls her and he's like, oh, I need you to come and see me. And this is just pretty weird. She has to bring him a book.
Lying? Is she lying?
Is she lying? Is Chili, like, what's going on? Anyway, Marissa's like, oh, I need to go and meet them. And again, we also haven't mentioned another instance of Ryan, like, not being at his school and being at hers. I would love to see, like, Google Maps. How far is there between these two schools? Anyway, but yeah, it's all a bit weird. So Marissa goes to meet Chili, Ryan leaves, and Ryan then goes and finds Summer at Harbour and wants to know what the deal is.
Yeah, she's busy putting the posters up and the lockers. But yeah, Summer's really good in this scene because she's really honest. But then you know those moments where you're like, are you being too honest?
Yeah, like, you're like, dial it back a bit, Summer.
Yeah, so she says to Ryan, like, Marissa's afraid that she's abandoning Johnny, that she's like leaving him in this really shit situation. And you can actively see like Ryan gets pissed off at that.
Yeah, of course.
And what did she expect? Like, but then she said, like, she tries to pull it back and like, look, that's just the way Marissa is. She's wired that way. Like,
yeah, she's like, that's why we
love
her
is really reasonable. But I'm also just like, Ryan, do you really want to be saying that to I wouldn't say that to Ryan.
No, I guess it's difficult, isn't it? Because although they are like this core four, like little foursome, you never really get the Ryan and Summer, or you don't really see explore the relationship separately, you know, it's as if they all hang out together. Yeah. And I'm sure, like, I don't know, maybe you and Ali have, Steve and I have got a lot of friends together, but like might be different dynamics separately, you know. So yeah, it's a bit weird, but she asked him to go and hand out buttons.
Sure.
Yeah, drop a bombshell, hand out some buttons.
Yeah. Julie's over to see Marissa at Summer and Dr. Roberts' a beautiful house. But the girls aren't back from school, so Neil's home because he's having to pack up Gloria's stuff, who is Summer's stepmom, and send it over to her sister-in-law. So this is it. Like, the divorce, the separation is happening.
And then we find out that Julie, we know how the private school is getting paid for, so that's been answered because she says if Marissa does get back in, she's going to have to use all her savings to pay for her to get into Harbour. And they're both a bit like, oh. And Neil's just like, look, she'll be grateful. Her mum's making sacrifices for her future, even if you are living in a trailer. And they both sort of, they're sitting, waiting for the girls to return. And they're like, oh, let's just procrastinate a wee bit further and go for a drink.
I am really bad for that. If there's bad news or if there's something I don't want to face, I will be like, maybe I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow feels like, today just doesn't feel like the right day. Like, who wants bad news on a Tuesday? I'll wait till Friday. Like,
it's very easy to find reason, isn't it? But then, oh, this next scene. So Marissa's obviously not bringing over a book. Instead, she's in Johnny's trashed room. And yeah, apparently,
for a guy with a busted knee who needs to be, he's done a great job.
He has. We find out that the doctor won't sign off his knee because it's too risky. Therefore, Johnny can't go on tour, he can't surf, and his future is doomed. Yeah. And Johnny's able.
Yeah. Chili is quite good here because he says, like, even if we do find him, what were you going to tell him? Like, that everything's going to be okay? Like, it's not. Like, it's his entire future plan has, like, just gone down the drain. Like, and that's really hard. Like, that's hard as an adult when a plan changes like that. A tough one.
But then we cut to Ryan, Seth and Summer, and they only have 13 signatures.
I don't believe this. One damn minute. Summer Roberts would not only have 13
signatures. I think they've not really thought that much about, yeah, it's a sort of weird in terms of Taylor's character. So we're supposed to believe that she's this sort of like social outcast, yet she has so much power
control
amongst the student body. And it's like, that's not how it works. You know, well, I say it's not how it works in this sort of stereotypical American high school setting, you know, definitely not back then anyway.
And then Summer, who was like, remember in season one when she was doing that kissing booth the boys were like lining up to kiss her. I'm like, there's no freaking way they only got 13 signatures.
Nah.
No, I refuse to believe it. Refuse.
Yeah, but Marissa arrives and they're all trying to be positive and not let them know that this campaign isn't going as well. And then she's like, I can't go back to school.
I find this really interesting.
Come on.
So the way she worded it is exactly the same way that she worded her conversation, Johnny, where she says, I think I can't go to the party. I think I can't go back to Harbour.
It's very non-committal, isn't it?
So non-committal. Because like, surely in that situation, you would just be like, I can't go back. I can't do that. I can't do this right now. And it's this like wishy-washy, I think I can.
Yeah. I just feel like, come on, Marissa, your pals are totally like bursting their arses to get you back in school. You have done what you can for Johnny.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a thing you couldn't have done anymore. You just need to like do what's good for you. But then maybe she doesn't know what's good for her. I don't know. Yeah. But
there's also just that thing where it's like, that's not your boyfriend. And I know like you need to stand by your friends. You need to support your friends. This guy's been your friend for 6 months, if that. Like, I just, like, if I was Ryan, I would be seething by this point.
Yeah, you'd be pretty raging. But we cut to the following morning and Marissa comes by the pool house and she's like, oh, I owe you an explanation. It's Johnny.
And the explanation is basically that she's in love with Johnny. Like, that is the undertone of what this entire scene is.
And Ryan's,
it doesn't
just
make any sense.
But Ryan is so calm and collected and he's like it's not your problem, and he's so right, it's not.
Well, the simple fact she says, oh, it's Johnny, don't be mad, like, she clearly knows it's not
she
okay.
knows. But Ryan's like, look, we're gonna go ahead with this, we'll see what happens and you can take it from there, which again, I know some might say, well, she doesn't want it, they shouldn't, but yeah, I think I would probably, if I was Ryan, I would do what they're doing. I'd be like, well, I think we need to see, give this a shot.
Yeah. It's just so, like, the next thing she says is just so ungrateful, where she's like, I never asked you to do
this. I never asked. Oh!
Like, just like, and I think as well, like, see if it was like her mum doing it or like Taylor doing it and her saying, I never asked you to do this, I'd be a bit more like,
yeah, how much is that the kind of thing that a, like, sorely ungrateful teenager would say to their parents? Well, I never asked you.
But you would never say that to your boyfriend and your best friend. Like, I don't want to say it's bad script writing or she's an arsehole, but it's one or the other.
Yeah, I know. I feel like we're sort of bashing Marissa here while sitting with free Marissa t-shirts on. It's like, we love you really, pal, but you're being difficult.
We had invested in this campaign, okay? Like, we wanted her back in Harbour. We would have got more signatures.
I want a coffee mug.
And we're not angry, we're just disappointed that after all of our hard work, she doesn't want to come back.
Yeah. Ugh, God's sake, Marissa. But anyway, we're still on the campaign and Matt's on the campaign because this guy has come through and he has dirt on the judge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he has, his son had a drug problem, was chucked out of military school and is AWOL. They don't know where he is. So pretty sad story.
I was like, is Sandy turning into Caleb? Remember, Caleb had his PI.
Yeah, I was like,
oh God.
I was like, there's no way that Sandy will use this. But he does, he looks a bit, he's like, don't think I'll use it, but thanks him anyway.
Good to know.
Yeah.
To be fair though, in a knowledge gathering situation, I'd probably want that information if I could get it. It's good to know.
It definitely is. And it lets you think of what sort of angle you're going to take. But yeah, the next scene is like weird. So they're at back at Harbour School and Seth and Summer are setting up the booth for the petition signatures. Mm-hmm. And Summer's like, we need Taylor and I'm giving you permission to do whatever it takes. Like,
yeah, what is it she says? It's
a little bit sordid.
And he's indecent proposal style.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus.
And he's like, you want me to have sex for signatures? And she's pretty much like, do we need to, pal?
Jeez. They can't be that desperate, surely. Yeah. Ryan turns up at Johnny's house. Not sure why, but he does.
Ryan's been doing this quite a lot recently.
God, God. He must be so sick of this guy.
Like, Ryan's like, so oh, fuck. What are you up to, pal? Today you're moping about your house. Last week you were skulking about a petrol station trying to rob it with a gun.
Just, yeah. This is where he kind of explains to Johnny that she's only staying at Newport Union because of him. Which, why would you say that to somebody that you know fancies your girlfriend?
Yeah, it's giving him hope, isn't it?
Yeah. And he was like, you rich kids find that hard to believe. And he's like, don't lecture me on public schools. And I'm just like, you're meant to think that these two have had some kind of bonding over the fact that, you know, they've come from the wrong side of the tracks. But yeah.
But Johnny does what Marissa did in the previous scene. And Ryan's like, I don't need you to lecture me. She's staying for you. And he's like, I didn't ask her. And Ryan's just like, you didn't have to. Boom, slams the door. And I was like, it's her Ryan? Choice.
Yeah. Ugh, yeah. Just, there's a lot of emotional manipulation.
Johnny
here.
Sucks, man. He sucks.
Johnny does suck. Kirsten visiting Sandy for lunch is the cute factor that I needed in my life. Very cute.
Cute little sandwiches. And Sandy's got a bit of an ethical dilemma, hasn't he?
Yeah. And this is where he admits that he was tempted to use the information that the... PI had given Matt to give to him. And I just think it's really good to see, like, somebody who we use as, like, the moral compass of the show, who's, like, the good guy. Like, having bad thoughts doesn't make you a bad person.
Yeah.
Everybody gets them. It's your actions that count, guys.
Yeah, it is.
That's
it
the
is.
Important bit.
And then we cut back to see Seth approaching Taylor, and he tells her he's been sanctioned to offer sexual favours. Great opener.
This next line.
It's hilarious.
I have questions, Taylor. I have questions. It would have involved a long night involving candle wax, tube socks, and the new Fiona Appleton CD. I mean... I don't want to kink shame anybody. And Taylor, if that's how you get your kicks, go nuts. But what are the tube socks for?
Yeah, I didn't get the tube sock. Got the Fiona Apple candle wax, but not the tube socks. I mean, it's not my jam, but...
No. But, like, surely if they're... is she wearing... Is he wearing them?
Who knows?
I don't understand. I have questions.
Maybe we could get Autumn Reeser on the podcast and ask her.
Look, I've got questions. Josh would know he wrote it.
It came from somewhere, didn't it? But Taylor's like, I can't. And then Seth sort of tries to just appeal to her heart. And he's like, I'm your friend. And then we get a wee bit of backstory on the VT, Veronica. And she's a big sports agent. Large men are scared of her.
Yeah, but she's basically blackmailing Taylor, isn't she? She's like, I won't pay your college tuition. I'll stop paying your car. Like, that is quite literally the definition of blackmailing someone.
Imagine you're like mob blackmailing you. Like, what?
Do what I want, or
yeah. And Seth then's like, look, pulls a sort of friend card and is like, you don't want to grow up like your mum, like a bold, bitter ball buster. Good bit of alliteration there.
Yeah.
So you can see Taylor's like, again, as like manipulation from Seth as well, isn't it? Like, we'll be your friends.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's getting blackmailed, manipulated from all angles.
Over at the trailer, our best invisible friend Gus is in trouble.
Yeah.
I don't want any of your pigeon pie, Gus. I don't like what you do to those little birds.
And then Dr. Roberts.
So weird. Neil is here.
Did you notice though, like, Julie's wearing this like really cute robe rather than like thong halfway up her back and like the trailer trash outfit? I'm like, oh, that's cute. She's like, oh, and then he finds the big bag of pork rinds and it's like,
oh. Yeah, I adored it when he came in and he was like, so this is what one of these look like on the inside, huh?
Oh, it's so cute. He totally like gets the balance between not being patronizing or condescending or looking down on her, but not being like, oh yeah, this is totally normal. You know, I thought it's
he
really
acknowledges,
cute.
Acknowledges the situation, kind of makes a bit of a joke around it, but not at it. Like, he's nailed the tone. I agree.
Yeah.
She says to him though that she's not going to go to the hearing because Marissa might be better off without her. And this is where he says, every girl needs her mum.
Yeah, given like all the chat from the last episode as well about Summer and her mum and how she walked out. Yeah, I thought this was like really cute.
Although in light of it being Mother's Day in the UK tomorrow, every girl does need her mum. There are a lot of wonderful human beings out there who have survived strongly, adamantly, successfully without their mum. But it was a nice statement in this
It was a nice statement, definitely. But yeah, he says, look, I'll be in her corner. I give a lot of cash to that school. And then I quite like this. And he's like, okay, you go get ready and I'll take the pork rinds and trade stock tips with Gus. I was like, that's so cute.
Pork rinds are gross though. Not my vibe.
I didn't really get, what are they? They just look
to get them in pubs, but they're quite like...
Oh, they like really dried out, like bacony bits, no?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But right. It's like crackling almost, I think.
Ah, okay.
What I do love is like, you know, like frazzles.
Oh my gosh,
which are like the little bacon crisps.
Yeah, I've got, they're always in the cupboards. Like, I absolutely love frazzles. Frazzles love and Roysters. Big fan of those.
Dirty, but I like it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be good. So I've got a toffee because I did my workout earlier. I've got a toffee crisp in case of emergencies because I
love a toffee crisp.
So I'm trying not.
Yeah, I've not got any snacks. Just wine.
I'm trying not to think of Frazzles because now I'll just want to go and hunt them down.
Anyway, we're at the Coen House.
Cool. Back to Coen House and they need to leave in an hour. This is our Waterloo. Maybe this is the fight we should like just give up on.
Yeah,
they're not
that's,
feeling confident.
I like this sort of comparison, but we've got Ryan, Summer and Seth, and again, Summer's just been, it's just going to be here, and they're like, we need to wait before we surrender, which is fair enough. Cut to Marissa and obviously she's looking for Johnny.
When they're at the Coen household, the sun's kind of setting.
Yeah.
Like it's not. Then you go back to school and it's broad daylight. Continuity, guys. Yeah. Continuity.
There is none. But yeah, so Marissa's looking for Johnny and she runs into Chili, who says, oh my God, Johnny's back on the team. And it's like,
did you not hear?
Is he fuck? But anyway.
So funny how it's all worked out.
Yeah.
Such a lie. Such a lie.
And she just doesn't look that happy about going back to Harbour, does she?
No.
And then Johnny like skulks out of the background and it has been a big lie.
They give each other a knowing nod. This next scene, back to the gang sitting in the Coens courtyard.
Yep. And your point is like so relevant as I have written evening at the Coens courtyard. So it's definitely evening.
I also have a safety police concern about this scene.
Oh,
once again involving fire. In the background of this scene, the outdoor fire pit is roaring away. First of all, they're not sitting around the fire. Second of all, they're clearly all going out. Like Sandy and Kirsten are going to think, why is the fire on?
It's going to be the model home all over again, isn't it? You'd think. I mean, it's not like they haven't had experience of this stuff. But they are waiting and Marissa finally shows up and they all head to the heating.
I love that this scene is set up like a courtroom in the school. It's very funny. Sandy's pumped. Like, and Kirsten's G'ing him up. She's like, this is what you do. And Matt is here. Matt's turned up with some more information about the judge. So Sandy sneaks off with him to chat about that.
Although before that, we've had like his first encounter with the judge and he goes to shake his hand and he's like, it'll be a cold day in hell before he does that. And you're just like, nob. And then Matt comes in and tells him.
Did like that the judge was wearing a little red bow tie though. That was cute. Good outfit choice.
He looked very cute.
He doesn't look menacing at all. He looks like quite cute and sweet. Like a little wee old man.
Yeah, he does.
But Taylor's also here with her mum, and her mum makes it very clear that you're either with me or against me, at which point Taylor sneaks off to the bathroom to clearly get the fuck away from her psychopathic mother.
Yeah.
And Seth and Summer, who are already there waiting in this weird courtroom school heating, they call Taylor to check on whether she's coming and she's like, she's not gonna come. Like, and they're like, oh, look, don't worry. Like, we get it. Like, these things happen. Like, we'll let you know how it goes. Like, thanks anyway.
Yeah, like, it's really cute. About it. Yeah. And they're like, we're mad at your mum, not you. And she's like, oh, that's super nice. And you can just tell that, like, Taylor has been, she's so traumatized clearly by having a mother like that, as you would be. And she just hasn't really had any pals, has she? No one's really been nice to her. And I think that she feels, you sort of get the feeling there that anything that, any compassion or kindness that she has received has been at the butt of her giving something to someone else, you know? So the fact that someone can just be like, all right, cool, is completely alien to her, which is really sad.
I guess as well, the fear of reaction is like quite a thing. If you're used so to a really negative or aggressive or fiery or loud reaction, and you say something and then you can brace for it and it doesn't happen.
Oh, but I love the next bit. When so like Veronica's stalking in and she sees Dr. Roberts and she's like,
who she's clearly seen before because her tits are like watermelon. Like, it's insane.
I was like, yeah, that's not a bra.
Literally, you would touch them and they'd go, ha ha. Yeah. Like, they're ridiculous. Like, I am completely body, you do what the fuck you like, but her boobs look like they were chopped off of a Barbie and stuck onto her. Like, ridiculous. Maybe Dr. Roberts isn't as good as we give him credit for.
Maybe, but. She says, oh yeah, Marissa's a real chip off the old block. And then Dr. Robert says, yes, brains, beauty and a flair for fashion.
Yes, Neil.
Sounds like he's describing a brat stall or something. Is that not like passion for fashion?
But as if Julie Cooper would not be ripping those earrings out and like get taking her outside. Like where has the old Julie Cooper gone? Julie would not have taken that shit.
She wouldn't, but Neil's just made her a bit more calm. Collected,
maybe,
who knows. But so Veronica starts off the hearing saying that the parents and students don't want her back. Cue Taylor wearing a very nice t-shirt.
Yes, a wonderful t-shirt. She has managed to get 300 signatures and is like, the parents might not want her back, but the students do. And literally, I was just like, yes, Taylor.
Yes. I told you you'd end up liking her. Anyway.
I don't like her. I just appreciate this action.
Oh, it's the process is starting, guys. But then the judge is like, yep, fair enough. But the students don't make the decisions here. And then Julie stands up and she's like, Marissa's ready to come back. And then Dr. Robert stands up and it's so bloody cute.
I'm going to tell you something and I need you to not laugh.
Okay. Did you stand up?
No. When Julie said, I wish I had, but no. When Julie said her little speech, I shed a tear.
Oh.
Shed an actual tear. And okay, it's maybe because I'd been awake since 7 a.m. and it's Saturday and, you know, I'd already had two coffees and no breakfast, but an actual tear fell out of my eyeball.
That's super cute.
It really hit me. She was like, she's dealt with this entire thing with like dignity. I was just like, oh, Julie. Oh,
do you find you tear up a lot at like TV just now? I feel like I cry at things all the time. Like I'm like uber emotional.
I'm not a big crier. Like I definitely get upset, but I don't cry upset. Like I tend to like retract, I guess, and get quite quiet. But yeah, I'm not a big crier. But we've been watching The West Wing, as I mentioned. You should watch it. It's amazing. It's on all four. You're welcome. Absolutely phenomenal. But literally every episode I'm like, not even like, so when I cried at this, it was literally like a well up and a single tear trickled down my face in a really beautiful slow motion manner. The West Wing, I am literally like sobbing, like like sobbing. And I was like, this is really unlike me. Like, and then I was like, I mean, we are living in a global pandemic, maybe that's got something to do with it.
I'm quite a crier. I'm quite emotional. Like my favorite place in the entire world is New York. And like anytime I see it on TV, I'll just be like, oh, Stephen's off, here we go again. But I think the last thing I properly cried at was It's a Sin.
Oh my god. I mean, if you didn't cry at It's a Sin, you're a monster.
But that was like my, you know, that way you have to go into another room to, but I'm a big crier at books as well. Which, and I'll often, I remember during the first lockdown, Stephen is away and my brother was staying with me. And I had like made my lunch and he was working in the kitchen and I was in the living room and he came into the living room to get something. I had my audiobook on and I was just like sitting, eating a sausage roll, like sobbing. And he just turned around like, what the fuck? I'm fine. What, it's just my book. I just need to go and sit. And I just had to like go and sit in the room and have a cry for a bit. And then I was,
do you know what? I cry at books way more than I cry at TV. Like way more.
Yeah.
But Yeah, emotions, hey? They're a funny, funny thing.
They are. But, oh, that's, yeah, Julie's, it was a very cute speech. And when Dr. Roberts stands up as well, and then Seth's like, go, Dr. Roberts, just like, shut up, Seth. But the judge still doesn't think this is precedence for her to be reinstated. And she's like, the school's never reinstated a pupil who's been expelled due to violence. Dun, dun, dun. Ryan and Dr. Kim correct him.
Yeah. Where is Sandy? Like, this was the point that I was like, Sandy, where are you? This is what you're meant to be doing. Come on.
Yeah, but then when he comes in and makes his entrance, and he's like, I don't have to reinstate. And the judge is like, I don't have to reinstate her. And Sandy's like, oh, well, you might want to. And I was like, what is Sandy's angle going to be here? How's it going to? Because, I mean, last episode, they were like committing fraud to get their pal an operation. So what lens will we go to? But
he hits the emosh, doesn't he? Goes hard in the feels. And it's like, sometimes a good kid goes through a rough time. And basically it's like, what are we doing here? Like, let's right a wrong. Like, we so rarely in life get a second chance.
That
and
second
get
chance.
To give a second chance.
Yeah, and it's good. And I was like, it is, yeah, and he's sort of like pulling on the heartstrings without exploiting like the judge's situation. And the next scene, fucking creepy Johnny hanging about outside listening to the verdict. Oh,
Boo, Johnny.
Go away. But only one person voted against. Wonder who that could be. And they're all clapping, and it's very like, woo, school spirit. Yeah. And Veronica Townsend is raging.
Sandy goes up to thank the judge. I thought this little bit was
God. It was like a lot, wasn't it?
It was a lot. So Sandy goes up to thank the judge, and the judge is like, thanks for like not exploiting me and telling, because clearly he knows.
Yeah.
And this is where Sandy's like, I know where he is. He's safe and he's at a shelter. And he said he'd like to see it. Honestly, I was like, I can't cry at the OC twice in one episode. Yeah. Like, Jesus. And then right in the feels.
And Kirsten's like, my hero. And it's like, everyone's hero. He is the best.
Everyone's hero.
Oh.
And then Marissa and Julie have their little heart to heart, and Julie tells her the truth, and she's like, Marissa's like, I'll come home whenever you want. Dr. Roberts tells Summer the truth, and she's like, we do okay. And I was like, that's good. That's cute.
Yeah, it's all very cute. And then obviously the kids head to the diner, and Dr. Roberts and Julie head for drinks with a huge weight off both their shoulders. I'd imagine. So yeah,
so cute.
Bloody yeah. The end of the last two episodes has been, the last one was a bit cheesy, but it was very nice, like a lot of nice moments. I felt
heartwarming.
Yeah, and then we've got, yeah, I found this weird. So you've got like Marissa and Ryan chatting, and he's like, "What changed your mind?" And it's as if like, "Oh well, actually, it was Johnny and Chili because they're away on the tour now." Yeah. And if I was Ryan, I would be absolutely livid. And he's like,
"No."
Because he pure jokes and he's like, oh, not even me a wee bit. And it's like, I'd just be like, what?
So sorry, you don't want to come back to this school with me, your boyfriend, and your best friends. The only reason you're here is because the other option, we're second best. We're the second best option.
After we've gone through all this, after I've had a bar mitzvah for your pal to get his operation, like,
absolute BS. And I can't believe Ryan's reaction. Like, I just can't believe he would be so sound about it.
And Ryan also knows that Marissa's totally been had, doesn't he? He's like, there's no way that Johnny's like on that tour. He's basically succumbed to my, you better make her not stay because of you.
Fix this.
Yeah. But then of course Ryan goes to the beach and Johnny's at Marissa's spot. Like, get your own
get your own sad spot.
Yeah, I have something to tell you like at the end of this. I'll let us finish off, but I can't believe that it only hit me the other night. But anyway, continue.
Yeah, so Johnny's on Marissa's sad lifeguard stand, which we've not seen her at in a very long time, which makes me think maybe she's not that sad. Maybe she's
not that sad because she had a nice winter break with her three pals and no Johnny. Go figure.
And Ryan says to Johnny, like, see you around, basically, like, thanks, bye.
Yeah.
And then we cue the senior class photo with all of them looking bloody adorable.
I love this shit. I love all the cute, like, cutesy cheesy school spirit stuff.
Yearbook yeah. stuff.
It's so cute. Yeah. Class of 2006. Were you class of 2006 or were you class of 2000? I was 2005, but I know you're younger than me and left school faster. So I think you might have been 2006.
I think I was 2006, but I didn't do so because that normally all happens in sixth like year. I didn't do any of that bullshit. It's not my life.
I organized and laid it all. It was bloody brilliant.
I walked out after my last exam with my friends William and Alan, put on my sunglasses and walked out the front door. It was literally
amazing.
Night.
I bet you wish you had a camera phone so that was filmed.
Yeah. It would have been great. It would have been great.
Pixelated but great.
I know. Memories. Such memories. Do you know what's funny? I do really distinctly remember my dad being like, before the end of school, being like, the end of school is hyped up to be this huge thing. And a lot of the time, these events that you expect to be a big deal aren't as big a deal as you think they're going to be. So like, don't hang all your emotions thinking there's going to be like a big hoo-ha or a fanfare or like confetti as you leave. Like, he's like, it's just the end of one chapter and the start of another one. And it really stuck with me. Even now, like on big events, I'm always like, manage your expectations, you know? Don't build it up to be something bigger than it's...
See, I'm like, not the opposite, but I remember my last day of school like very clearly because I remember we all used to sit at this like table in the cafeteria, and I remember we all went up to like Cumbernauld Town Centre before lunch and we'd like bought... like all this, we'd got like a massive Greggs and like all these decorations and stuff for the table, and then we had like a leavers assembly in the afternoon and like gave a wee speech and stuff, and then we had our prom like that night, and it was like really
loved
school. It was really good. But I have written at the end of this, so many feels, I got teary, so I must have had a little, reliving
my emotional episode. Right, what do I think's going to happen next? Is this the end of Johnny? Are we never going to see Johnny again? Very interested. Aww.
Yes. No, he's definitely in the next episode, that's all.
Jesus. Well, he's in the next episode, guys.
Sorry. Oh, I never told you my... Yeah. So I was just sitting there the other night and I was like, never mentioned this in the podcast. I went to the OC. I went to, like, Newport Beach. Yeah. So Steve and I, oh God, it was like 2013 or something, went like, where did we, like San Francisco, and then we drove down to LA and we went down to the OC to meet, it was like a friend of a friend, and I just really wanted to go to the OC as well. We went down, I've got like some cute pics of like the beach and like the Newport Beach, like little hut and stuff. It's like, how have I failed to mention this and why did I block this from my memory?
So I've been to LA a good number of times now and I've never been, so I need to, next time I need to go.
Yeah, the traffic was fucking horrendous going down, but it's so bad in LA, isn't
it? My resounding memory of LA was sitting in traffic.
Yeah. But it was like the first time I'd been to California and I was just like, oh, we need to go to the OC, and it just so happened that the person that we're meeting like lived down that way, so it was like, yeah, it was cool. So yeah, I'll send those pics on, but anyway, sorry, next time. So yeah, we've got, see how Marissa gets on back at Harbour. I feel there should be more the sort of Taylor Veronica. We've got more
there'll definitely be more Taylor, won't there? More Tay-Tay now she's in the gang.
Yeah, and Dr. Roberts and Julie.
Uh-huh. Very interesting to see where that goes. That's gonna come along.
Yeah.
Newport group.
Yeah, we've got Matt back because we didn't see him at all last episode as well.
He
Matt
was
and Taylor
off on his Christmas holidays.
Matt and Taylor had a wee week off. Yes, we've got that to look forward to. And yeah, is there more when the Brown stuff? We need to find out who gets into Brown.
So we do. Where is Volchek? We've not seen him in ages. It's been so long. Where is he?
Right, Heather, would you put up with another few episodes of Johnny if it meant another few episodes of Volchek?
Oh, that's a hard trade. See, if I could swap out Johnny, I would bring Oliver back.
Oh, fuck off.
I would bring Oliver back over Johnny. Like, if I could have three episodes of Oliver, I would sacrifice that for some more Volchek
action. At least Oliver had a bit of spunk, didn't he? Like, you never knew what was coming next because
he was actually wild. Yeah. Like, he was wild. Like, do you remember when he pretended to try to kill himself and like it just cut to that scene of him dancing around to Tom Jones? Like, he was insane. Like, and that's like That's the best kind of bad guy. The best bad guys when you just don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, what's
Johnny,
coming
you next? don't know what he's going to do because he doesn't do anything.
Yeah, but then we have to maybe... Is it a question of privilege? If Johnny had the money that Oliver had, like, who knows what could go down?
Very true. Very true. God, yeah, I really hope Johnny's not in it for much longer.
But yeah, should we find a listener of the week?
Yes, I have one.
Oh,
lined up, ready.
Okay. Da-da-da-da-da, listener of the week. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
This week's listener of the week is Emma, who messaged us at Never Seen the OC on Twitter and Instagram saying, "Hi from Texas. I just started listening to the podcast at the beginning of this year and I just love it. Y'all."
Oh, so wow. Cute. Oh, my friend Siobhan from Texas, and she says, she'll have like little, it's so funny because the longer she's been here for a few years now, and you'll hear her like, she says like we and little like sort of like Glasgow, and then every so often you'll get a y'all, and I'm like, yes, I just love her accent.
Love a y'all. She really is from Texas. She says, wow. Y'all. Y'all are so funny. I've actually laughed out loud. Yes.
She's not got to me yet, has she?
I think you are just as funny, if not funnier. Don't tell Kelly.
You're only saying that because I got you a t-shirt.
The bottle of wine helped too. And my family is actually from Northern England and Scotland, so your accents and terminology are giving me all the warm and fuzzies. Aww. I'm only halfway through season one, but I'm listening furiously to catch up.
Love it.
And I messaged back being like, I've actually been to Texas. I did some other chat that wasn't the opening line. But I was like, I've actually been to Texas before.
Did you go to South by Southwest?
I did. Oh, and I loved it.
Amazing.
It was so good. And she said, nice, I went to uni in Austin, but now living in Dallas, another place I'd like to visit.
Yeah, definitely.
Listening to the season one finale episode right now. I love that you guys are so logical with your analysis. That's totally how my mind works when I'm watching the shows too. # safety police. So glad I have so many more episodes to binge.
Love it.
Cute. So thanks, Emma. Thanks for listening. I feel like I say it every week, but we really appreciate it.
No, we do. Thank you so much.
If you would like to be in the chance for being listener of the week, you need to follow us at Never Seen the OC on Twitter and Instagram. Slide on into our DMs. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. But if you're going to do that, be nice about it. Have a chat. We love it. We do it all the time. I feel like I've been quite bad at getting back to people. I've been a bit slow, but I do get back eventually, which is the important thing. We've had a load of people getting in touch off the back of Princess Sparkles and Captain Notes as well. So people are clearly very excited about it.
So excited.
Well,
that's us.
Onwards.
I know.
We move. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, guys. See you next time.
Bye. Bye.